This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. It's a pleasure being with you tonight. I'm also one of the co-hosts of Off the Cuff Cable Television. So I'm keeping busy, doing a little bit here, a little bit there. Tonight's guest is a fascinating person that I'm really excited to talk about. We also have some other guests on, and we will introduce them kind of as we talk to them. Crystal Zivon is a published author. Two of her books are I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, and I'm afraid, Crystal, you've taken that line from me because I always said that about myself, and The Dirty Life and Times of Warren Zivon. Warren, this is an oral history of her former husband and lifelong friend and co-conspirator, and has been widely acclaimed by critics across the country. Perhaps most notable is Janet Maslin's review in the New York Times, her CBS appearance toting the book as one of the best reads of the summer of 2007. Hello, Crystal. How are you? It's a pleasure having you with us this evening.
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. One of the reasons, although I would like to hear a little bit first before we do move on about your work, what you're doing now, Crystal, and then I guess we're going to go into our Peace House and find out who's there.
Yeah. Good. Well, I actually started out working on another oral history, which I'm working on now, of people in the Occupy movement. But I was an occupier myself in Washington, D.C., starting on October 6th, and just came home a little over a month ago. But in the course of the occupation, I met a lot of people, and as the winter moved in and things got colder and things got more difficult in the occupation, we decided we should start thinking about indoor locations. And as it happened, when I first arrived in D.C., a guy named Jay Mark took me over to this house known as Peace House. And it's a place where it was purchased by Ellen and William Thomas some 20 years ago. And William Thomas started the vigil in front of the White House, the anti-nuclear vigil, that is maintained. He died in 2009, but it is still maintained by Concepcion 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But twice every day, she takes refuge at this Peace House. And after William died, Ellen was going to have to sell it. And the biggest concern was what will happen to Concepcion. She's in her 70s and still sitting there every day handing out hundreds of flyers, seeing, you know, tens of thousands of people every year, talking with them about war and nuclear proliferation. And I kept looking at this house and saying, this is a beautiful house. You know, it could function so well as a center for peace and reconciliation and education and research on those issues. And it just kept grinding away at me. And then I met Ellen, who was the owner, and finally started talking and Ellen let us move in, and paying nominal rent until we could try and find buyers. So we have a a short time left to try and find people. She's selling the house to us for $500,000. I've had it looked at by two realtors who say it would sell tomorrow for anywhere from $750,000 to $800,000. So, you know, it's a...
You went to Washington in January, right? Am I getting this right?
I'm sorry?
You went to Washington for the Occupy movement in January, correct?
No, I went in October.
In October, so you spent the winter there? I see.
I lived in a tent on Freedom Plaza, and we moved into Peace House in January.
I see. And Concepcion, how old is she right now?
You know, I believe she's 70, in her early 70s, but I could be wrong about that. I just read something else somewhere else. So some of the people at the house might have a better idea of her exact age. But she's been sitting outside the White House day in and day out, summer, winter, spring and fall, for 32 years now.
32 years, I can't even imagine. Here we are concerned about the current Occupy movement and the people that are occupying in what, just a few short months. And here this woman has done this for over 32 years. It's just astounding. What an incredible, I can't even say it's just dedication because it's so much more than that. It's unheard of for people to hold a vigil and hold fast and tight to a belief, which is a very honorable one that I absolutely encourage, one that I absolutely advocate. Now you meet her and you talk to her a lot, don't you?
Oh yeah, she comes every day to Peace House.
So you are currently at Peace House.
Well, I'm not.
I'm here right now.
I'm home in Massachusetts, but on the phone from Peace House, we have three of the Peace House residents who are running teach-ins there and managing the house and finances and so on right now. And I'm sure they
for our listening audience, we have Denise Valdez, Joseph Bratcher, and Fariaka. Faria has been a guest on our show before. Hi, Faria. How are you?
I'm good, Basim. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Congratulations. Wonderful programs that you guys are developing out there. Good luck to you. Now, let me ask, and you said that Concepcion was with you there?
Yes, she's right here. She's listening
Hello.
To you.
Hello. How are you, Concepcion? Thank you for being a guest on our show.
Thank you very much for calling, too, for interesting on the video and the Occupy movement. Thank you.
And how have you sustained yourself, Concepcion, all these years?
What do you mean by change?
Sustained.
Sustained. Sustained. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we used to be four people, my colleague and co-founder, William Thomas, used to be 24 hours a day, and dealing with the regulations and not the weather, everything that the government was imposing on us. Thomas, unfortunately, passed away 2 years ago, and I'm keeping up with help of the peace movement of Occupy, who gives me breaks, and that's how can I manage to keep it up the video and maintaining the spirit alive on the video, too.
Well, I don't know if people realize what you are listening to right at this moment is an icon, a human living icon. This woman has kept vigil for 32 years, out in all of the elements, coming in only to eat and maybe take a short breaks here and there, and it's just an amazing, astounding story. Now, Peace House is your home, Concepcion.
She said, "The Peace House is your home."
A home. Well, the peace home is very complicated story because that was brought by Thomas. Thomas Mara died left a little money, and it's a very complicated story about the Pisk house. So I wrote a book. Unfortunately, I'm having trouble with the book. Somebody stole it. I had to be in courts to take the guy. And then everything will be on the spurs about the whole video and the house. The house is taken now by the Occupy people, which are very nice people. They do a very good job. And it helped me a lot.
Now, let me ask Denise Valdez. Denise Valdez is the house manager and Facebook administrator of the Occupy movement. Denise, what is going on as far as the management of the house and how you oversee who and what goes on in the house?
Hi. We have scheduled teach-ins. We also support Freedom Plaza and provide space for them to come and rest, and we cook them meals, take them down there, and because they can no longer sleep, they do shifts and come here and take rest. We also provide a vigil for Concepcion, and have a rotating shift, and they also come here as well to the house and rest, and provide her a break. We're also scheduling different meetings for the occupation to stay functioning here in D.C. since it's been a difficult time with the evictions at both locations. So we're just trying to keep things going here and using the house as a basically a people's embassy for the occupation movement.
Now, I don't want to, now, since, of course, you know, it's so difficult to keep up with all of the Occupy movements now. When you say evictions from both places, you're talking about being evicted from the streets of the Occupy movement, of the current movement in Washington, correct?
Yes, both locations had encampments, and the police have come in and evicted us, so no one can stay there any longer as far as sleeping. It's basically a day vigil, and there's a skeleton crew that stays at night just to keep the place going, but there's no personal belongings or blankets that are kept there, and so we're just trying to help keep the movement going here in D.C. in providing a place to come rest and food and shelter when we can.
Wonderful. Joseph, hello. You're the house cook and webmaster in finances. How'd you manage to get all of those jobs?
I don't know. I got lucky, I guess, or I pulled the wrong straws.
And what foods do you cook for all of these wonderful people? I would imagine that the nature of activism tends to be more in the vegan type diets. Is that something that is a concern of yours?
I try to cook because we do have some vegans, we do have some vegetarians, and then meat eaters. So it gets a little complicated trying to cook for all three groups of people, but it's we survive. You know, I just have to have three pots going, and you know, one with no meat products, one with meat, and one vegan.
I can't even imagine the nightmare that the finances must hold for you, Joseph, based on the fact that this is a donation-only enterprise, is it not?
Yes, yes. It's tough. You know, we've got a few recurring donations to help keep us going. But you know, this is really new. We're just at the ground of doing this, and the word really hasn't gotten out. And it is tough, but we're positive about the future, and we keep moving on.
Well, I wish you all luck, of course, Farrakha. Scheduling, outreach, and community liaison. Is this working within the Occupy movement that you are community liaison and outreach, Faria?
It is going between the Occupy movement and also we're trying to reach out to the faith community, the community in general. We have some plans For example, we were planning to go out very soon into the suburban areas, basically educate people about the Occupy movement and also ask them what we can do for the community who hasn't been involved yet.
Now, I know that not all of the Occupy movement are without financial support and not without jobs. Do they offer any kind of support and sustenance to the Peace House?
So far, we've been getting mainly a lot of food donations, which we really, really need because, as Joseph just said earlier, we're cooking for both encampments. We're cooking for people who are staying at in the Peace House. Financially, it has been a little tough, I do have to say. We do get here and there a little bit of donations, but for some reason, I believe it's also a matter of people's misunderstanding of the Occupy movement. They are not well educated or well aware that this movement is very important. So we're trying to change that, and hopefully that will help us in the future and with our finances.
Thank you, Crystal. What would you like to see from our outreach to our listeners tonight happen?
Well, I think right now our biggest struggle is saving Peace House. We need to come up with some major donors or people who would like to make an investment. We're open to pretty much any formula, but so that we don't lose the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful building, and we would invite anyone who might be interested to come to D.C. or to call me. I'm happy to talk with anyone. We do have some people who are offered some fairly major amounts of money, but we're a ways from coming up with the full purchase price, which, as I say, is almost $300,000 less than market value. So,
mm-hmm.
So our biggest push right now is to save this place. If we don't save it, Concepcion has nowhere to go. The people who are there, the programs that are running, it's right now is acting as kind of a hub for the Occupy movement. People come in from occupations. A group is coming from Washington State to create props and so on for some major actions and do workshops on training community activists. And, it's such an opportunity. We have one of our former occupiers who's a young Palestinian woman who has been helping us put together teach-ins where we can actually...
Who is this woman?
Mira Dabit.
Mira Dabit, okay. I don't know Mira. I've heard about her a little bit. I happen to be from Ramallah, so I was when I was reading the bio and the information you sent us, I was interested to see who it was.
Yes, well, Mira's in Ramallah now and organizing with people there to Skype in, for teach-ins and that sort of thing. So, we're trying to reach out, and she will be coming back and staying at Peace House as well, starting in April. But our biggest push right now to your audience is if anyone or anyone knows of anyone who might be interested in helping us save it. The location is fabulous. It's smack in the middle of D.C. If you know D.C., it's at 12th and M. And it's just a tremendous value in every sense of the word.
And has there been any kind of coalition to develop funding for this at all?
Well, we've got not per se, not in an organized way. We have several individuals who are willing to put in some amounts of $50,000, $30,000, maybe $100,000. But so you know, it's up in the air right now as to whether we'll try and just get funding that way from smaller incrementally, or if maybe one or two or three people might want to just form a partnership and buy it. You know, we're in a bit of a catch-22 as far as creating the organizational structure until we know that we've got the place to do it. Otherwise, you know, we'll have to look at other options.
And the Occupy movement, how is that going along in Washington there? Which a lot of people are very, you know, when the Occupy movement first started, everybody was up in arms about it, or a lot of people anyway were up in arms about it, saying, well, why aren't they occupying Washington? Well, there you go, folks. They are occupying Washington, too. So can you tell us about how the movement is progressing, what reactions they have been getting recently, how much they have been constricted in their protests?
Sure. Washington, there are two encampments in Washington, one at McPherson Square and one at Freedom Plaza. And, you know, they both operated pretty autonomously. They had some just differences in the way they operated, although have always gone on actions and so on together. And in D.C. we were, you know, the police and the authorities are pretty savvy as to First Amendment rights and so on. So particularly at Freedom Plaza, we had relatively good relations with the police. When we say we're going on a march or we're going on an action, they would, you know, escort us through the streets. So the encampments were operating pretty much like all of them. You know, at Freedom Plaza, we had a General Assembly in the morning, a General Assembly in the evening. We had working groups who coordinated actions on whatever was going on, whether it was the NDAA or the... We would go to the Egyptian Defense Attachés to support the people in Tahrir Square. You know, whatever's going on, housing foreclosures. In February, early February, February 4th and 5th, the police came in, and February 4th went to McPherson Square and basically said that there was no more sleeping in tents, there was no more camping, the tents had to be cleared of everything, and if there was anything that they considered a biohazard, which could be anything, then they took the tents down. And the next day they came over to Freedom Plaza and did the same thing. Freedom Plaza had more tents left standing than McPherson, but they both had some left standing. And so what's happened since then is people have had to move into find shelter in church basements, or as Faria said, there are people who are rotating the 24-hour shifts at Freedom Plaza and McPherson, and they'll, as they alternate, they'll sleep at Keith's house, and then there's another house called Mount Rainier where they also sleep. But it's difficult. I mean, the people who they're kind of placeholders at this point. They're still holding GAs. They still have political actions and activism going on, but we're waiting for spring. And come spring.
And can I ask you, well, here we've had a wonderful, here in Michigan, we've had a wonderful couple of days. It feels like spring. So I wish you beautiful weather for the movement all over the country. Let me ask you, as far as the movement itself, when you say two encampments, about how many people do you suggest are in those encampments?
Well, I think at one point, McPherson had almost 300 tents at their peak, and I think Freedom Plaza had about half that many. And, you know, how many people are in the tents I don't know, but you know, it's been considerably less than that, I'd say, on the overall. But I think Freedom Plaza probably had, Denise probably would know this better than I would, because she, Denise and Faria worked in the information tent, so they probably have a better count. But I think around 60 tents was probably might be an average at Freedom Plaza, and somewhere over 100 at McPherson.
Denise and or Faria, is there documentation of the people that are involved in the Occupy movement? Hello?
Well, documentation as in, well, we have a lot of
documentation. Are you documenting names?
Throughout the Occupy movement, we have done live stream. We have taken a lot of pictures. So I would say we have a good amount of documentation.
Great. And let me ask you, what do you envision the Peace House becoming for the Peace and Occupy movement? This question is for Crystal.
Earlier, you know, we're kind of traveling around with a certain wording, like the hub center, the People's Embassy. This place is supposed to be not only ensuring that the vision of Concepcion can continue and that she has a place to come back, but it's supposed to bring the Occupy movement, specifically in D.C., onto the next level. We're starting out in spring. We're getting ready and preparing for what we call the American Spring, where we are organizing a lot of marches, big marches, a lot of teach-ins. Not only teach-ins focused on broader issues, we also like to give the community the opportunity to come to teach-ins focus on self-improvement. What can we do? How can we change so that we can all do and can make a change in our society? And March 30th, for example, just to give you an idea, we're going to march in solidarity with the Global March to Jerusalem, which is big
Land
thing.
Day, yes.
And Washington, D.C. has been one of the Occupy encampments that have been endorsing the Global March. And so we called onto people outside of D.C., people in D.C. to come and join with us to march in solidarity. We're going to meet at Freedom Plaza at 1:30 p.m. on March 30th, and we're going to march to the Israeli embassy, and hopefully a lot of people can come out. You know, we're demanding the safe return of the peacefully protesting people that are marching to Jerusalem. And from there, you know, we're going to take it step by step. We had Egyptian revolutionaries come here and speak at the Peace House. And we have other people that would like to, at the Peace House, become kind of like a key role in organizing their ideas and their marches or events. So we're very open, and we hope that we can be that maybe that missing piece between Occupy and the community to bring everything onto the next level.
Well, I will be walking in solidarity that day. We are hosting an event for health and wellness and for the Heart Association in coordination with Land Day, so that our Ramallah community can come out in full force and show their solidarity with all those who are marching. So I assure you, you will not be marching alone. Can I ask, perhaps Denise, what do you envision for the Peace House my question for that would be, for Crystal. Crystal, which celebrities has Peace House actually had hosted or have been involved with?
Well, there are numerous celebrities who know about Peace House and are familiar with it. We've only been there since January, so shortly before we moved in, Jackson Brown came to Freedom Plaza and played, and he's well aware of what we're doing and supportive. Roseanne Barr just sent out a tweet to, you know, her whole Twitter fan club about Keith House. I'm blogging for Michael Moore on Michael Moore's site, so Michael Moore and those people are aware of it. And you know, we're reaching out more and more to celebrities. Several people in New York, Tom Morello and Steve Earle and people like that have been are aware of it, and we hope to have.
Well, let's hope they all come to rally around and actually show more than just, you know, their physical support, but also monetary support as well. Let me ask, I don't know who would like to take this. How important do you see the Occupy movement as far as the election of 2012 goes? Don't all jump up at once.
That's a really tough one, you know, because Denise and I were just talking about this evening. You know, the Occupy movement has stayed out of the election process. You know, and my feeling on it, on this, is not going to make the change before the election, and the election is still important regarding who gets elected. You know, as far as nominations to the Supreme Court, which could drastically change women's rights, gay rights, depending on who is elected. Personally, I think that it's something that the Occupy movement needs to think about, you know. But, you know, it's a tough one because, you know, the whole thing with the Occupy movement is to work outside of the system, and, you know, which is great, and I know that's what we need to do, but I don't know that we're ready yet, and I fear that, like I said, women's rights and gay rights and just human rights in general could really be hurt if the wrong person is elected into office.
And who would know who the right person is? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I still don't know who the right person is. After endless years of campaigning, I still don't know.
Let's go see Kim. About the election you were talking about.
Yes, Connie.
Well, I think the Occupy movement started to change all of this corruption in the government. Therefore, candidates is qualified fit in the throne. And because we had enough in 32 years that I'm in front of this house, and every day, every time they move it, it's a revolving door. One candidate get in, the other get out. The one to get in, the other get out. And we don't get anywhere. Change is the peace movement, and that's why I'm supporting. All the Occupy is a people. People have to take over. And that is what Dwight Eisenhower recommended on the military complex industry. And that's what I recommended. If we do not do the change, the people have to change, it's not going to happen. There's too much corruption in there. And the police is not just the human rights of the people. It's an international law. They violate all the laws. They started with killing people senseless in other countries. We have the military complex now in Pakistan, Israel, Palestinians. Israel started to bomb Iran. The world is setting now in a terrible situation of a nuclear catastrophe. And this is what these people started for, to curb the corruption of the U.S. government, which is not the U.S. government. It's a corporate political mafia. And that was its move. And if we don't change that, Não meta a presidente de avião por em dia. Even Jesus Christ. Não put it in the weapon. He will crucify. Because he's inside.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Connie. After 32 years, I kneel to you and say bravo for still having that kind of enthusiasm. Now, you've met a lot of interesting people.
You perish. You perish because it's the control of these evil doers, serving on the banks, on the corporations, and destroying this nation. The corporations taking the jobs overseas.
Yes,
labor.
They are.
American people
yes,
cannot get jobs. The bankers don't give you credit. They are forced to foreclose in your homes. And people with children, when get ready from school and graduated, they cannot find jobs. So
now, Connie, you've met a lot of very interesting people, including President Reagan, have you not?
No. As I said,
oh, you didn't?
It's a revolving door. They're changing now 6 people to take over the nation. And that is a change. And that's what this movement, Occupy, started for, to change. And if we do that, it's not going to work. So people all over the country, don't watch the TV, because the TV is brainwashed you and it's controlled by them. Support the peace movement of the Occupy. This is the only way we can have people. People occupy everywhere. It's not only here. It's all over the world, too. As you can see, it's in another country. The people cannot take it no more. 7,000.
Have there been any estimates as to how many Occupy movements have been established around the world?
As we can explain, it was thousands and thousands in Barcelona. Started peacefully because about education. And it turned out to be violent with the police. Because the police is protecting the government, corrupted. And that's a big problem.
That is a big problem. Connie, it is definitely a big problem. Thank you. And I deeply honor what you are doing.
No food, no homes, no water. And here, we just threw everything away. The United States is wasting because they kill people to steal their resources. So the whole world, and I'm telling you now, in open area, to the United States people, it started to think. Take over, finish. There's no other way. If the people don't take over, you finish.
We are finished. I agree. If the people don't take control of this country again, we are finished. We do have a question from one of our listeners. Andy in Spokane, Washington would like to know, would one of you care to comment on House Bill 347, which Obama just signed, restricting assembly and protest with severe penalties?
We actually here in D.C., this is Denise, we had a protest in front of the White House yesterday, last night, with the both occupations. We as Americans are losing our freedoms every day. It's happening faster and faster, and people need to wake up. We used to be able to go stand in front of the White House and protest, and now we are not allowed to be on the sidewalk, and we have to be in groups of 15, and there's just more and more restrictions for us. And, pretty soon, we're not even going to be able to be there anymore.
I never laughed so hard except when I went to Washington the last time and protested just before Iraq. And once again, we were coordinated into a certain place with our permits. It was like, boy, they sure killed the idea of spontaneous protest, didn't they?
Right. It's not exactly a protest. When you're corralled into an area, you need a permit. We're American citizens. We do not need a permit to voice our opinion. Our Constitution provides that for us.
And exactly. Now, let me ask you, in light of some of the unbelievable bills that are being passed today, this one, 347, I believe it's NADD, do you feel that the Occupy movement is going to start to alter to accommodate a broader spectrum of ideas?
Not sure how to answer that. A lot of being here in D.C., a lot of these bills affect us personally because everywhere we protest here are government buildings, Secret Service, and so they affect us, I would say, the most because of everywhere we protest. But I don't know. Do you guys? I'm not sure how to.
Well, what I'm saying is that I know that you have the General Assembly and you have a vision for what you would like to see happen. Although right now we are having some serious laws being put into place that are seriously curtailing what we're doing. How do we handle that? How does Occupy deal with those new events that are coming up?
Well, tell them that.
Well, would you like to speak? I believe that we need to keep educating people. We need to get more people out. We need to be present and just show that majority, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We need to stand up for, the Constitution. And I think a lot of the occupations are trying to educate and reach out further to the community. And I think that's the key thing, is just to get more and more people out in the street.
I just wanted to add really quick. I mean, yesterday when we had the march in front of the White House, we recognized that a lot of people, they don't even, they have no idea about these new laws coming out. They don't know about those things. So they're very thankful for us to go out there and to let our voices be heard. And you ask yourself, how come these laws are coming out now in a time when Occupy, right? When Occupy is getting so big? I mean, they're trying to oppress us. Obviously, we must be doing something right because they're trying to oppress the movement in general with all these laws. So that just means that we have to continue. And if they believe that those laws will make us, stop with our work. Right. Connie was also saying that, most people are so busy of watching everything on TV, pop culture, and not really educating themselves that they get brainwashed and they don't think for themselves. And so the Occupy movement, we think our responsibility is as well to educate the people and to continue, no matter what it takes, to continue doing our work.
Now, let me ask you all, Crystal, right now, do you have some kind of a fund in a bank somewhere or an account that people can put money towards, or are you looking for just large donations at this time?
No, we're absolutely. We have, if you go on OccupyPeaceHouse.org, there's a donation button where you can make a one-time donation or monthly donations. We accept PayPal, or however you want to do it. There's an address to send a check. If you want to make a large donation, probably contact us and we'll
ease that suffering, ease that money right out of you. And I have to tell you, this is an absolutely worthy cause. There definitely has to be a presence in Washington for an entirely different kind of premise as far as peace, as far as humanity, as far as, and I personally like Peace House is a great name. I also like the embassy name. I think that's a great name for it as well. I don't know which one you're going to end up with, but you also have a library there, do you not?
Well, we're beginning to create a library, a people's library, where the idea is to have education. People can come and do research. We're looking for donations of books and so on to build the library. As I say, we're just starting out, and we're a little reluctant to go too far with that until we know we're going to be able to save the house. But as far as the donations, I back to your other question, too, about the movement and what's happening right now, I think we're moving into a new phase, and part of it is needing to train more activists and organizers so that we're recognizing the need to come together and people starting to organize larger actions and more focused actions. This whole movement came together very spontaneously, and I think now people are concentrating on new focuses to start to implement the change. As far as the election process, the electoral process, I think people are the basic premise in Occupy is that the system is broken. The system really doesn't work, and that in order to eliminate corporatism and militarism, it's going to mean dismantling what's there and rebuilding from scratch. That's a tall order, and that's going to take time.
One of the things that I always found as a young activist, and I've been an activist for over 20 years, I at first wanted to heal the entire world of all ilks and all evils and all things, and I eventually settled down on the issue of Palestine, and it was easier for me because I am Palestinian, but I felt, and I still feel, that if we can heal one area in our world, we have an opportunity to heal another. And it only takes one in the beginning. And so for me, you know, obviously my choice was Palestine. Although, you know, there are a million different areas that I could turn my thoughts to. But one of the things that I always misunderstood in the beginning as a young peace activist is I would, you know, people would ask me, so what are you going to do? And I was like, well, we're going to get out there and we're going to march. But then what are you going to do? And then, you know, and we're going to hold signs and we're going to get media and we're going to. And then I thought to myself, and then somebody asked me, but how do you create peace? And I have to tell you, that was a turning point for me as an activist. How do you create peace? And then I really started to study about it. I started to understand the nature of peace movements, nonviolent dissidents, how to react under stressful moments and environments within, and even if when you're accosted, there are a million different ways, and it really didn't have a whole heck of a lot to do with holding a sign. But I hope that we can keep and save Peace House, that we can encourage people in these training programs that you are facilitating, that we can grow a library there that can teach people there are absolute solid techniques for being peaceful in the world today, and people don't know a lot about them, and I think it's definitely something that we need. Amen?
We have a plan to hold weekly nonviolence trainings and have had the first one, I believe, in nonviolent communication. But that is a major focus of Peace House. So,
well, the site is, if you would, Crystal?
OccupyPeaceHouse.org.
I want to thank Crystal, Faria, Joseph, and Denise, and I especially want to thank Connie for her visual of 32 years. More power to you. I hope and pray that some benevolent listener out there can come through for Peace House and make this happen. Next week's show is Paul Larudi, American Director of the March on Jerusalem. We look forward to that show. And again, I thank you all for being with us tonight. Connie, continue the good work. More power to you. We love you and we deeply respect you. An American icon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief on the fast, ball, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.